Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Yes, this is the after show for Showtime's The Chi, the best show ever. But tonight we're discussing episode 3, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey.
I don't wanna die for the enemies.
It's lit on a Sunday. Listen,
I love that.
I was you know, in Chicago they be doing the stepping.
Okay.
I was doing my little two stepping this weekend, getting my Chicago on. We'll talk about that later.
Hey guys, it's Veronica Barriga. You can find me on social media at Veronica B Online. And where can they find you?
Dímelo, mi gente. You already know what it is. Friend Sally Chapman here. Hang out with me at all things at Sally Hangout.
What's up, y'all? It's Drew Jones, and you can follow me on all the things at OK Drew J.
Hey, y'all. I'm trying to find a beat. I'm about to give y'all my Instagram name. I'm Dominique.
Hey. She's going to freestyle.
Dominique for the freestyle.
Dominique Barriga. We about to get it popping on episode 3, the after show.
Talent, girl.
Ghost.
Yeah, so Brandon is just meant to be a good guy, apparently.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
The devil's trying to take him down, and it's not happening. What did you guys think of that opening shot?
I was like, he ain't built from that cloth. He know he's napkin. But no, wow. I loved it because I didn't want to see his character go down that way. But it was funny, like opening scene when you got to see Kugi as a ghost, and like how many times have someone died and you really do see the dead person, you know, like you feel their spirit and everything like creeps you out. So
yeah,
it reminded me of like the Friday scene. Remember in Friday when the father was Craig was tripping. Because he was high, that's what that reminded me of. But but I loved it. And Ronnie, he's feeling the guilt trip.
Yeah,
you know?
He's guilt tripping.
I will say that pistol whip, like, that hurt me. Like,
ouch.
Just the sound effect, I was like, ugh.
Oh, gosh.
That's net. That was a pistol whip from Jesus telling you, get your life
together. He's like, get it all the way right.
I'm giving you a chance. And that's what it was, you know. That could have gone either way.
Yeah.
I know Latino gangsters, and he was not there for that.
Man, shout out to Lena for all the representation. Yes. You know, we got the Latinos, we got the Arabs, you know, everybody's represented.
Really authentic.
I mean, but it's so important. Ghosts. Like, there's a haunting throughout the entire episode.
Yeah, there is.
They're all being haunted by the spirit of Kugi, not just Ronnie. I feel like, you know, the mom, when she talks about the house and him being there. And obviously, Brandon even going to try to buy a gun is because he's being haunted by the spirit of his brother and wanting to get some sort of redemption. So, you know, the whole episode, ghosts, man. Jeez.
Yeah. That's real, though. Like, anytime you do something, like, especially when you feel guilty about it, always come at you hard. Mm-hmm. And that's literally what leads you to some type of closure. You know, that's what's going to push you to actually try to solve the situation, in which this case, they tried to solve it. So, like, sometimes that has to happen in order to have closure, you know?
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy what, you know, the situations that, like, thinking with your emotions get you into. I mean, everybody sort of was on the right path, and, you know, I don't want to cuss, but it's getting, you know,
crazy.
Can we do it?
Yes, sure, love to cuss.
It's going down.
Oh, no, she did.
I want to give a special shout outs to Black Jones, who's on the live chat. He said he's still trying to wrap his mind around it. So, Black Jones, tell us what you thought about the episode.
Yeah,
so strong last night. I can't believe not only did he didn't take the gun, but he also gave up the money for the gun.
Well, he didn't have a choice.
I was like, dang, you got your butt beat and you lost $300.
Like, he actually was kind of, you know, he was a little feisty. He was like, I'm not giving you my money. Like, he went there, and that was cool. I'd like to see that.
He tried to have heart to try to do something.
I just want to let the record show that Brandon learned a very valuable hood lesson.
What was the lesson?
That was a hood lesson.
The hood lesson is you either go big or go home. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You have the hood teaches you about choices.
Yeah.
And that you need to be really decisive with your choices, because he didn't think it through. Like, it's like, all right, it's, if he was gonna buy the gun, he had to go through with it.
Right.
That's the thing when it, yeah, man. Because not going through with the choice then can cause a really bad reaction.
Yeah, right.
And that's it's the school of hard knocks, man. It's the school of hard knocks.
And you also see Emmett. Remember, he tried to, when he was trying to get an extra job, and you see that he came up to the block boy looking for work, and he was like, look, if you're trying to think, this ain't for you.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, you can't, like you said, you can't just
second guess it.
Well, it's because when you're in the hood, you don't have a lot of money. Like, time is, like, time a is valuable currency. So, like, if you're wasting my time, I'm going
to
feel some type of way about it.
But how real was it that Emmett had, was in that situation? I think every kid that grows up in the hood, whether you're a bad kid, you're a good kid, you're trying to find your way, at some point you look at those guys with the money and the chains and the nice cars and the girlfriends, and or even as a girl, you know, do you say, oh wait, I have a nice body, I can do some things, and it's you, I mean, no, I'm
gonna sip
so
my tea
real. And I, you know, it,
no, it's real, it's real.
Yeah, that's all I have to say, it's real.
Like Kanye say, only the dope, what he say, something like, only the dope boys, they knew they wasn't broke boys. Like, growing up in Chicago, that was the only people that they knew that wasn't broke, you know? And they helped out when they can, but... Yeah, man, it was it was tension all up in this episode. Goodness, goodness gracious, decisions. Jerrica came out, house is trying to get sold. Like, what y'all think?
Can I just say I love Jerrica so much.
Yeah.
I love it, like,
yes.
Brandon can't lie to Jerrica.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is, like,
that's
their relationship
woman.
Is so solid.
It's the sweetest.
I was really happy that we didn't have to see freaking homewrecking chef's boo thing.
Wait, you know that's coming. That's
I know, listen, I'm speaking it out of existence. I don't want to deal with her. I really appreciate that, like, he just feels like he can just be so, like, honest with her.
Yeah.
About, like, what's going on.
I appreciate the... the realness of it, because honestly, for a second, I was like, he might lie here. Because he did technically lie. He said, I hit my head on something in the job. And she's like,
she knows.
Come on, bro.
She knows.
Like, we've been together. How many, we live together.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing about, I'm not going to say just men, but I'm a woman, so I'm a, you know. But when you're with someone, whether it's man or woman, after, the little nuances that you don't even realize about yourself, people know those things.
Yeah.
So the moment you switch up some, I already know.
You felt it.
Come
but
on.
But it's a healthy relationship, because, you know, if it wasn't, then she could just turn on him, kind of like the way Tracy turned on Ronnie, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's so nice to see a healthy relationship among all this toxic
chaos.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But I love that she still said, and, you know, maybe this is because she's a little bougie, as they say, but she said, go to the police.
Yeah.
And this is like an ongoing thing, right? Go to the police, and everybody comes back, and what do they say?
Everybody should go to police. Even when the scene where Ronnie was chasing after Kevin and went to the school, I'm like, where's the school counselor?
Right?
Like, y'all can't talk to nobody.
The SRO? Like,
find a teacher.
Somebody help. Goodness gracious. Yeah. Like, little kids are just... fearing for their life, and they're in school.
My tax dollars are paying for campus security. Where is he?
Where is it? Like, that is just crazy to me.
And that's the thing about those communities, because there's so much freedom.
Yeah.
You know, I was just talking about this with my family today, and we were saying the difference between growing up in a place like Salt Lake City and growing up in the Bronx, you know? And, you know, she has a teenager. He's like 14. She's like, yeah, I'm getting his lip. I said, yeah, but lip from a 14-year-old that grew up in Salt Lake and lip from a 14-year-old grew up in the Bronx.
Yeah.
Because the 14-year-old is hanging out.
Yeah.
My your kids have a backyard. Yeah. My backyard was the front of my building.
Yeah.
Or the park up the street, which didn't always have the best kind of influences.
Yeah.
So there's just so much that they're exposed to.
Your world is so much bigger, and it involves everybody that walks by, and everybody that walks by does not have good intentions, and they might suck you in because you're a little kid and you're impressionable, you know. How that goes.
Hey.
Speaking of lip, like you were saying, you got to see Kevin's mother, girlfriend, because she heard him cursing, and she said, put $2 in the jar, and I didn't expect for his mama to be gay.
I didn't expect that either. Yeah,
that was real, because the show. I always wonder about that too, like kids growing up in a household where they have two moms or a mom and however they. I don't even know what they will call it, but I always wonder about that. So it was good that they actually showed that, you know, because that happens. People grow up like that.
Absolutely.
Well, I knew it was coming. I mean,
Lena.
I mean, come on, y'all. Like, Lena is, you know, the executive producer and a writer and creator of the show, and of course her life being represented in a particular way is really important, but she's also talked about not wanting that to be the focus, you know, or that needs to be a strong storyline, you know. Of course pieces of her are everywhere, but it doesn't have to be like, oh,
but it's really nice. It's really nice to see, it's subtle, it's just like very subtle, very you know, we're gonna throw it in there, but again, not the focus of it, and it was such a positive vibe too,
it was
so sweet to see. So what about this Trice guy, man? So now we know he's like the drug dealer. He owns the block. Q knows Trice. It's sort of starting to unravel a little bit. What do you think Q's relationship is to Trice?
It seems like he was like his mentor, the guy who got him into everything.
In the game.
So he knows everything. Yeah.
And everyone shook of this man. I said it last week. I'm like, this man walk in and people are like, oh man, okay,
well, the OG.
Yeah.
He bought house things. Cash. What did he say? He said, I want the house by tonight. Do the paperwork and talk to my lawyer. I'm paying cash. And I'm just, let's not even negotiate. I'm just going to give you the price that you want. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I know it's not like a fancy house, but God darn it, you got money to pay in cash for that. Like, give me some money.
That's why I was just like, damn, he means business.
Yeah, he ain't playing around, which is scaring me for Emmett. Because like Sonny said, you need to pay him back that $100 soon. Yeah. And I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Emmett needs to get his life together because he's still trying to have unprotected sex. I don't understand why.
Sir,
you already have a baby. How many more babies?
Multiple babies.
This is a PSA for use the condom.
Right. Okay. Safe sex.
Now, this is a good person to use.
Safe sex. Jeez.
Man, but Emmett is trying, man. He really is so trying. He's trying to be responsible. He's trying to do his thing, get the money, not have to borrow money or ask his mom for money. And this is the reality. Like, you're trying to grow up, you're trying to get a job, you get a job and don't pay as much, or you get a job and you don't get the hours. So sometimes you gotta do what you gotta hustle to get.
That's what's so hard to watch, that he's trying to do the right thing, and you know, I won't get too deep into it, but the system is built to keep people down.
Yep,
and
exactly.
You're working 40 hours or trying to work 40 hours, and it's not a living wage, you know, and so it really brings up all these amazing social issues, and she does it, you know, again, does it so amazingly.
Yeah.
So I love that they touch on everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, condoms cost like $5 a box.
Or they Planned Parenthood will give them to you for free.
Not too.
Message.
Shout out to
Parenthood. PSA type of show today.
Tamar, who's on the live chat, wanted to ask you, ladies, he hasn't seen, or she, excuse me, hasn't seen the episode yet, but wanted to know if we thought that the Wiz was a metaphor for the whole show.
Ooh,
which I thought was really interesting because,
there's a lot of knowledge.
Side note, I was in the Wiz in college. The Wiz is one of my favorite musicals of all time.
Cheers.
He's on down the road. Okay. As we ease on down the road of the shot, I was like, wow, okay, like, you remember that moment of Richard Pryor, like, when you finally, like, opened the curtains, and there's Richard Pryor, and this is this big thing when you were comparing to like these kids in the hood that look up to these drug dealers, or they want to get out, and there's this fantasy of what it means to get out that looks different for everybody, and the yellow brick road to get out is different for everybody. And so here you have this whimsical thing of what you think it should be, and then you open the curtain and it's Richard Pryor.
I thought when you said Richard Pryor.
So yes, Tamar, I agree.
when you were talking about Richard your pride now. I thought it was going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because you remember the guy, the one who sold Ronnie the gun.
Yeah.
He was talking about, you know, what you going to do for
him. Oh, that.
He said the second little thing. Oh. And I thought that's what you was going with.
Oh, no.
See, for that, this is the thing. Now Ronnie's messing up, too, because he's going to that guy, and he's giving him information, and he's telling him things. You know, you don't share your secrets with a drug dealer. You know, nobody's your friend in the hood.
Yeah,
and
even if they
are. He's aware, not with that one.
Yeah, not with that one.
Yeah. He's going to make you do something strange.
He's going to cast a spell on him.
That's another...
But that's what happens when you're scared. Like, eventually, you start snitching on yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's eventually that's what happening. Ronnie is going to do.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, what do we think of Laverne selling the house? Good idea, bad idea, worst idea ever?
I get it. Well, I totally understand.
Yeah.
But grief is like a huge, I mean, man, I can't imagine as a mother having to still live in the house
of
my son being passed away and having to walk past his room every day. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom can't even walk past my grandmother's door without feeling sad.
Yeah.
We live, my grandmother lives in the same building as my mom. So my mom's like counting down the days when she can move out of the building.
Wow.
So that's like really real for people. So I totally understand that, which is why I understood Jerrica's position for like, well, if this is what we're doing,
that's what we'll capitalize.
Then let's make the most of it and let's make sure no one takes advantage of your mom, because that's real what these huge corporations are doing in the neighborhoods.
Yep.
Gentrification at its
finest
is
let's
just, these people just need money and they have no idea what they're worth.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And so we're just going to throw them some change, because it's literally change for them.
That's real life.
And it's like, oh, I'll give you a couple $1,000. And for them, they're like,
and
oh,
they're
my God.
They're happy to have it. Yeah, it's like I won the lottery, but really they're being undersold by, thousands,
and then they,
thousands of dollars.
That money runs out. So
they
go and move somewhere else, and then they find themselves a year later, like,
and the
broke.
Cycle just goes.
Renting
Well, that's why I think, I mean, I understand where she's coming from, but that's why I think it's a really bad idea. Like you said, you know, the money doesn't last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also, you know, she's a little reckless.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it's not just about the money, the amount they will get. She looked like if they give her $5, she don't know how to handle it. So it's like, you have to be smart when it comes to that, you know?
Yeah.
And it is a hard situation because, like you all say, like when someone passed away, you don't want to live there, but you got to be smart about it. So what would y'all do if y'all was in that situation?
I mean, when my grandma passed, I was the one who got the house, and just like didn't, like, I mean, I obviously couldn't, like, I talked to everybody else about it, but like I just couldn't do it. I couldn't be in the house. Like, it was too much. And so we sold it. But I mean, we obviously, you know, chilled out and waited to get emotions out of the way. But I completely understand why she would do that. It's too much, like, to have someone's essence still be in the house. Like,
I understand that. I just don't want to see this lady, you know, lose her money and then, like Brandon said, come back and ask, you know, him for help. And, you know, you don't want to see it go downhill.
Yeah.
You like, even though she's not the most, like, coolest, you know, most responsible mom, you still are cheering for her.
Yeah.
There's, you know.
Well, take a look at the boyfriend, too.
Right. Yeah. And then he might be taking advantage of the situation.
Yeah.
Trying to go,
because,
like,
he's living
rent-free.
He ain't got no job.
He ain't got shit to do.
Okay.
Now that I know I can cuss.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for the cussing sailor.
It's going down.
But to Dominique's point, you know, a good man upstairs once told me, if I can't trust you in little, I can't trust you in much.
Exactly.
You know, so that's just what it is. You know, our habits and what we do in anything is how we do everything.
Yeah.
You know, and so you just have to be really mindful of people's behaviors and patterns. And I think that's what Brandon is most protective of and scared of. He's like, you can move to wherever you want to move. You can change the environment, but it's really about changing you, because you'll go somewhere else and then run into the same problems, doing the same things, because it's you that has to change.
Yeah. Speaking of running into the same problems, I need this little girl to leave Kevin alone.
Alone,
that's a baby.
They talked about this sexual harassment. Hashtag time's up. It is time's up for her to stop getting on my little boy. French kiss, trying to make him French kiss.
Come on. I never hit a woman, but I've
been. It's like, but we're not French.
He said, got so like stumbled. He's like, we not French.
Yo.
Back up with it.
Yo, that girl is crazy. And that's what kind of cousin are you? First of all, you trying to steal my little middle school man.
I'm trying to see what you're working with. Ooh. Ah, y'all babies. He's not working with anything.
I'm just curious to see how this is going to turn out.
Well, I was going to say that woman is too much, but that girl is too much.
She's a lot of girls.
You calling her a woman?
Child. Listen, that shit had me so heated. I felt like he was my little brother. I was like, you need to step off. We're not playing. Because, listen, I have a little brother who looks older than he really is.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And all these little fast girls always try to come up on him. And I'm like, if you don't get back.
Like,
yeah. Catch these hands so fast. She's a child.
Yeah, she scares me, that little one.
No, she's scared. Seriously.
Poor little Kevin.
Don't doubt us, baby D.
As if
baby
he doesn't D. have, you know, enough to worry about.
He's being assaulted here.
What about his little meltdown backstage? Poor little Kevin. He's finally starting to be a kid a little bit, you know, having kid worries, but... You know, big worries, but acting like a kid. Where will you walk me home, Brandon? You know, that was sweet to see.
Yeah, he was scared. The meltdown backstage, I was happy he had that because sometimes you can hold something in so long and it gets the best of you. Mm-hmm. And I really want him to sit down and talk, but at least he talked to his friends.
Yes.
So that was the starting point. But I knew it was going to come because you're only a child. You can have the responsibilities of a teenager. You can take care of yourself. But at some point, you're going to snap back. I mean, us as young adults, we even have moments where we get weak and we end up crying. Yeah. So I knew it was going to happen. I'm just curious to see what is he going to do from here.
Yeah, he had a meltdown like a kid, I guess, but he's handling it like an adult. He's like, okay, what are my choices? And I'm going to man up and I'm going to go talk to Ronnie. He's listening to his friends. I don't know if this is the best advice
I was
going to
say. I'm like,
this counselor,
yeah, yeah. Mind you, these little boys are in colorful wigs because they are supposed to be the lollipop girls. I don't know
that
how serious we can take everything in that moment.
But he found out some type of conclusion because you see, he got, I don't know, I'm still unclear. Did y'all think it was a setup or it was a coincidence?
We were talking about that. Yeah. I don't know. I hope it's not a setup. That's messed up, man. I know it's in the hood, but that's fucked up.
Yeah.
It's like a part of me thinks it's a coincidence because he was genuinely scared. And he's like, okay, walk me home. And then Ronnie just came from the back. But at the end of the day, Kevin is smart. So I'm like, okay, is he protecting himself?
Yeah.
And trying to, like, have them go face to face?
But he seemed, this is why I feel like it might have been a setup, because when he's asking Brandon to walk him home, he seems kind of hesitant about asking. Yeah. And at first I thought it was like a pride thing, but then when they get close to like the bridge, he starts looking around before Ronnie ever walks out. So I'm like, do you know something? I even said something to you, like, I think Brandon's about to get jumped.
Well, this is the thing. Because of what happened at the school, he knows this man is looking for him and is following him. So to a certain degree, it's like, this is just the paranoia of knowing, like, man, it's either I'm going to go through this by myself or I'm going to have him tag along and he might go through it with me, you know? And that's, I think, what the hesitancy was. You know?
Come through with hesitancy.
You know, I told y'all last week, the gap sometimes the doesn't allow me to pronounce. Enunciate. See, I'm all messed up.
We're good. Yeah, well, at the end, and then Ronnie comes up. That was a scary moment. I don't know. I think it was, you know, it's only a matter of time between Ronnie and Kevin meeting face to face. Obviously, Ronnie's eager to do it. But I don't know. Do you think he's capable of killing another kid?
No.
Is it going to go down like that? I got all sad.
I don't think Ronnie's going to kill somebody else. I think he's going to have a heart attack because he's so damn stressed
out. He's
going
through.
He's
old too.
Yeah, you're right.
He's going to have a heart attack. I don't see him killing somebody else.
Good point.
I don't know about this. I don't know how this is going to end.
Demons,
this is not looking good.
Super stressful.
This is not looking good. But then the other detective, you see how he peeped that Cruz was had some type of relationship mm-hmm. with Ronnie. So I'm wondering at what point is this detective is going to step in mm-hmm. or is going to push Ronnie to being like a suspect or something.
Well, he also went and like ran up on that homeless guy about the cell phone. There's something off about that. I really do not like him.
We know this already. He's a crooked cop. Yeah, he has hands to be. Down.
Yeah. I just want to know
what's his motive?
Who's he tied in with? Like,
right?
How high up in the rankings does he go?
Yeah.
Like, he's just mad sus to me. I don't like him.
Yeah, I don't know. Offhand, I think he protects Trice or that block. So anytime there's any controversy there, if you solve it, he doesn't want it. Exactly. He doesn't want it to be solved because then, that messes with his pocketbook, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this Trice guy and this Hugh guy, I'm still not over, like, he pays cash. Like, what is he up to? He's in the house and he's like, there's no furniture.
He got his little watch chair.
You're a special kind of evil. Like, what are you up to, man? You know?
Which is why everyone shook.
Yeah. He got to keep his enemies close so he can see what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, so they won't attack him or whatever that case may be. The block attack.
Yeah. I'm gonna throw a little pebble here for you guys to think about this.
I like it.
Ronnie's not Jason's biological father. Who is?
Oh.
And remember, he said, "What's your relationship to this kid? How do you know this kid?" He's like, "Don't worry about it."
Yeah.
And then he was like, "I want," but he came all the way. He's like, "You came all the way back from where you were from to I want to know about this basketball player." So I think he might be the father.
I agree on that.
I can see that.
Yeah, I was thinking that, but then I don't know. Maybe he's just a really good actor. But then what did he say? He was like, "No, this is messing with my business. This is about my business, and the business is your baby."
But the business, listen, in the hood, you in the business of poker face.
Yeah.
Like you, no one can see you sweat or know your intention or what you need because anytime someone knows your weakness,
that's
you're not as powerful anymore.
Yep. Yeah.
So can't no one know that he has any type of connection to anyone. As far as they're concerned, he's the lone wolf.
Yeah.
And it needs to stay that way.
And he also may not get the full truth. Like, if you know, shit, we just killed his son, like, they're just going to throw whoever under the bus. He's not necessarily going to get justice from that.
Right.
So if he has a poker face and chills and just kind of watches,
then he'll get the real.
He'll get the answer.
Yeah.
Ooh. I like that.
I like that. I like that.
We did that, ladies. We did that.
We did that. This show is good, y'all.
It's
tonight, really good. I feel like they had the comedic relief every now and then. They like run the laughter in, and then they got like the deep, juicy stuff. So I love the dynamics of this show. It's a good show. It's a good show.
And then the way they ended it is like chills. Like, wait, why are you cutting to black? Why? you would, wouldn't you? Yeah.
They bomb.
Oh, next week. Next week's gonna be good.
Straight up.
Lena's the best. And speaking of Lena, you have a story, don't you? Yes! Tell our viewers, girl.
Well, you know, I was saying that, you know what I'm saying? I was, literally, guys, I just landed in L.A. from Park City. Shout outs to Park City for showing me a good time. I was at the Sundance Film Festival, and, you know, Lena was there. She was doing, like, a brunch work in her area.
Yeah.
And there was a shy party, actually. Let me tell you, I wish I could wear them. At the Showtime Shy Party, they gave away free headphones, and it says the Shy and Showtime on it.
Ooh.
I was like, I want to wear those from now on.
Yeah.
So next week, I'll show y'all my swag, my Sundance swag. But yeah, Lena, actually, you know, small world and how connections always make their way. So Lena's fiance, shout outs to Alana. She's the sweetest woman ever. Her fiance's father was my mentor. Growing up in New York. So yeah,
heading to Sundance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've had lunch with Lena's fiance and like known the family or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't know that they were dating until like a couple years ago on Facebook.
See?
And I was like, oh my God, my mentor's daughter is dating Lena. And I had already been in correspondence with Lena. Like when I first moved to LA, and this just speaks to the character of who she is. When I first moved to LA, she didn't know me. But I got her email address, and I needed to do something with Dear White People, who she was working on. And she, like, connected me, because Sally's Hang Out, my show on YouTube, got one of the actors to come and support.
That's amazing.
And she's just always been super gracious that way. And now,
awesome.
You know, to know her at the... She got me into the party, because they were acting funny at the door. And they were like...
Wow.
And there's the picture. Oh, yeah, you know. He took a picture at the party. Yeah. You know, Lena, she's the best. And she's just, I'm so happy for her success and everything that she's doing. And people were showing her a lot of love. The Shy Party was the party to be at Sunday.
I saw a lot of, like, snaps and stuff because I had a few friends who went to it.
It was lit.
So fun.
It was lit. Ugh. Issa Rae was there. I mean, it was lit. Everyone was in there.
I seen that she had, like, made an Instagram post, and she was like, if you go to the party, let them know you my cousin, sister, brother, somebody at the door.
Yeah, and that's what, the door was crazy. They were at capacity. Lena literally had to come outside and get us. It was, but she did. She's that kind of person. She's like, oh, they good. They with me. They good. I was like, and then we took this picture as soon as I walked in. That's why my scarf is on.
She looked like she's the homie for real.
Yeah, she's the homie.
Yeah, Lena, come on and slide through After Buzz and talk to
us. Yeah, I'm going to hit her up for sure and have her come up on the show. Yeah.
Speaking of Lena, have you guys seen her new movie, her new Netflix movie, Stepsisters?
I have not.
No.
I've been at Sundance. Oh, you did?
Yeah, it got a lot of buzz because I am an ex-sorority sister.
Oh. What
Delta
sorority?
Sigma Theta.
Yes! All right. Yes. Lady of Fortitude, I see you.
And so a lot of people were, like, you know, feeling some type of way about it because of the whole, like, we shouldn't have to share our culture because of the whole stepping. And is this painting black sororities in a bad light? And so I went into it, you know.
Yeah.
Prepared.
Yeah.
But it was actually really, I thought it was very funny.
Oh. Okay.
I mean... Don't bite my head off in the comments because I know how black Greek system gets.
They're trolls.
But
we got your back.
Don't worry about the trolls.
But I think it shows the black Greek system in a good light. And I think, you know, there is the whole culture sharing thing and how it can be obnoxious and blah, blah, blah. But I think, like, she did a really good job of playing both sides of it and, like, showing it from both. I mean, I liked it. I thought it was a very funny original concept.
That's her writing style. Like, she's always going to bring the humor to it. She's going to give a balance. Mm-hmm. She's going to tell the truth, you know?
Exactly.
And that's what it is.
But it's always just a reflection, whether people, you know, feel this way or that way. She's always just reflecting the culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what it so, is. So that movie is probably just a reflection of it is what it is, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, and I love that there are so many people from Dear White People that were in the movie. Like, she just tweeted me today. Nia Jervier. She played Kelsey, the really preppy black girl on Dear White People.
Okay.
She's in this movie, and she really is, like, a scene stealer. She's so funny in this movie. But, yeah, it was a really good movie. Good job, Lena. It makes me excited for more projects from her.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't wait.
She's just been killing it back to back to back.
And you know what she's also doing, which I really love, and we need more of this, when you have women in powerful positions, she's mentoring like crazy.
Yeah.
This is very important to her. Whenever you hear her speak or she's, you know, on a talk show doing the circuit, she says, this is not necessarily about me. This is about bringing other people up with me and building and having more, you know, women behind the scenes. And she started as a PA, guys.
She first one, right?
She was her assistant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Talk about, you know,
and
hustling.
That's a cycle in itself because Gina started off a different world. Like, it's like you help somebody
yeah.
and just keep on going.
Yeah.
It really does say so much about her, though, because, like, I feel like, especially in this industry, and I'm sure you all know, like, it's a very dog-eat-dog, like, type of industry. It's like, I don't care about you, I'm just out here trying to get me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it speaks to her art, too, that she really cares more about the art than she does the success, that she's willing to potentially have people, you know, competitors almost, like, people who are fighting for that same spot. Because, unfortunately, right now, you know, there hasn't been that many seats at the table for women of color in, like, production or whatnot. So it's cool that she's, like, doesn't care about that. She's just like, no, I'm going to build you up, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to...
Well, her voice is so unique, though. I don't know if anybody can take her spot.
She does that part.
I'll say that much. Yeah.
Agreed.
But it's very nice to see. Yeah. I think that's it.
All right.
No, wait, predictions. Are we doing predictions?
Oh, yeah.
I forget. This is new to me to be the lead host, and I just always move on. Here they are, the predictions.
Oh, snap, we got a Q-Dog.
That's cute.
Yes,
that's cute.
Okay. They're the mad, loud ones. The purple and the gold.
Yes.
They howl.
Black Jones said, congratulations, girl.
Oh, thank you. So, predictions. What you thinking?
Okay.
What are y'all thinking? I already sort of gave my predictions, right? I predict that homies, the real father, yeah. Jason. Mm-hmm. I predict that Ronnie trying to get this cell phone is going to end up getting him in a really bad spot.
Okay.
You know, and Jerrica and the mom, I have a feeling, are going to cultivate a better relationship.
Oh, I like that.
I like
that. Those are my predictions.
Oh, I hope so, yeah.
Predictions. Predictions are
stressful. It's
stressful.
They're stressful.
It is.
It's stressful.
I predict Lena. Sorry, no, let me tell you. I'm going to just call Lena. We're going to get the storyline right now. But no, I think definitely that... I think Ronnie is going to... I don't know if... I feel like something's going to happen to Ronnie.
Yeah.
Before he gets somebody else, I feel somebody's going to get to him.
Yeah.
I feel like... we're going to get a bit of maybe a clue to who really killed Jason.
I hope so.
And I don't know. That's what I'm rocking with for right now.
I like it. Mm-hmm. Solid.
Snap. I should have thought about that while you were saying that. I was really
You were into it.
Yeah,
you
I was into it. I was really into so what you much. Had to say. I think Quentin is... Jason's daddy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really think that he's going to kind of do like a revenge, like, I'm just going to shoot up the whole block. Oh. Like, I'm going to sit back and watch type of ordeal.
That's going to mess up his money, though.
I think he's going to do it like in an effective way. Not necessarily shoot up the block, but I think he's going to do it in such a way that, like,
she's all about the violence.
Like boys in the
I don't like. Listen.
Ricky!
I think he's gonna get. I think he's gonna get revenge for Jason, and I think else? This is a prediction, but I just want to say I'm really happy that Jerrica finally kind of had her own storyline that doesn't have to do with Brandon, because I was really nervous about that.
Oh yeah,
because I didn't want all the female characters just to be wrapped up with their love interest or whatever. Yeah. So. Yeah. Which I knew Lena, like, wouldn't leave us hanging like that, but I was just, you know, waiting for it, and we got it, so thank you. And you know what? I hope that Kevin gets his little fast-ass girl to leave him alone. That's my prediction. He finally... Keisha's gonna come through and curb stomp.
Oh,
like
yeah.
a big sister should.
Ooh. Or the cousin might pop
yeah,
up.
She Ooh,
or
the cousin.
Mm-hmm. I let's get Kevin some
pepper
spray.
I need that
spray.
Little girl to go away. She's stressing me out.
Aw. Yeah, I'm gonna just send him some pepper spray. That's my plan for now. Get away, girl.
But
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, it's hard to predict again because we're so into it, you know, and you're just watching these moments unravel and it feels like real life and you, I guess I'm just cheering for the characters, but I feel like the detective, he's such a good guy and he can't sleep at night, so he might go after Ronnie, maybe even set him up, but then didn't he say something? He said, my CI.
Yeah.
My CI, and he kept referring to Ronnie as my CI. And I don't know what that means.
I know what it means, and I can't think of it for some reason.
So basically,
what does that mean? Sorry.
So it's someone who's a snitch.
A snitch. Oh. Yeah.
Well, that's what we would say in the hood. You're a snitch.
CI.
Okay.
I don't know what CI stands for.
Well,
it's
snitch.
But basically, it's their informant.
Okay.
Yeah. The I stands for informant.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So.
City informant.
Conscious informant.
Oh.
So what happens is.
It's actually a confidential informant.
There you go.
Via Google.
There you go.
Go off, Anthony.
See, I love Anthony.
Our
engineers always.
He said it's confidential informant. So, aka snitch, as you said. Yeah.
Well, not necessarily, but that's what we would say in the hood. But yeah, I mean, I believe that he's been that since the beginning. Because in the pilot episode, when he runs up on him, get in the car, I think that they make it look like he's always harassing him and he's giving information and intel.
Mm-hmm. See, so that'll be
That's been their relationship.
To see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think the bad cop is actually the one who shot Jason.
Oh!
That would be good.
Blowing my mind right now.
Now, what if he did,
I wouldn't be able to deal with that.
Dab on that.
No.
That's too much.
Because he has real interest in, like...
Wow.
Because we haven't seen him interact with
anyone
yet. But I feel like he has some real interest in this whole Jason situation. It would just, I'm saying, it would make sense.
Maybe that's why he's so preoccupied with this, because it, oh.
That's a lot. That's too much. You did too much. We'll have to come back next week for that one. I can't even
and
sleep on that.
You tune in next week.
Yes, please.
You can find us on AfterBuzz TV Dramas. Please subscribe. We are on YouTube.
Yes.
And we come to you live every Sunday.
And we got a live chat that's popping every Sunday. So make sure y'all be in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm Francelli Chapman. You can catch me at all things at Sally Hang Out.
I am Drew Jones, and I saw someone say we should do a Grownish after show. I am on the Freeform Weekly after show, which we talk about Grownish. So tune into that. But you can follow me on all the things at OKDrewJ.
And I'm Dominique Sarita, and you can follow me on everything at Dominique Sarita.
And I'm Veronica Briga. You can find me on social media at Veronica B Online.
See ya.
Bye.
See you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.